You know, you are so lucky to be listening to this podcast. Not only is it more entertainment than you have a right to expect, there's a lot going on today. And I have evil thoughts about all of it, plus notes, too, as well. So look out. A lot of ground to cover on the podcast. Joe Crummy, let's get started. Here's what's coming up. Yes, we'll be talking about the El Chapo Amendment. You're going to get a kick out of that. That's Ted Cruz. Nancy Pelosi in Washington, D.C. last night sounded drunk. It's either funny or sad. We'll get to that a little bit later on, just because the audio is so great on that. How to speak Trump. That'll be at the end of the podcast. We'll talk about that, because some of my liberal friends, actually, just some of my friends just don't understand what Trump is saying. I do. I will translate. And then we'll talk about the president's executive order regarding sanctuary cities. Being stopped by the evil Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as of yesterday. I want to break that down for you, too, because it's not what you think it is, all right? Seriously, and that relates to the whole how do you speak Trump, too. We'll get to all of that, but let's start with taxes. How'd you like doing your taxes last week, by the way? Was that fun? Well, I'm still doing mine, and it just sucks like whatever, man. You file an extension, and the next thing you know, it's October, and it's like, what are you doing, you know? Well, what they want to do in the Trump administration is forget all that stuff, and so they brought out two people in a press conference that just ended a couple of minutes ago, and I'm not even going to wait around for the audio for it. I just want to get it out on the podcast to you. They brought out two guys. One was Gary Cohen. His job is to talk about taxes with regard to people like you and me, the average guy. Gary Cohen kind of looks like, what's his name, Captain Picard in Star Trek. Kind of looks kind of like that guy. Then they bring out the Secretary of the Treasury, that's Steve Mnuchin. Munchkin. And his job is to talk about corporate taxes, but let's go to personal taxes first and break it down for you. Gary Cohen came out and said, look, we're going to simplify taxes and make it easier for you to do your taxes, which is a big deal because you and I hate doing taxes. He said, number one, we're going to reduce the tax brackets from a total of 7 to a total of 3. So there will be now 3 tax brackets in the United States for personal income. It'll be 10%, 25%, and 35% brackets. All right, so it's going to be 3. That's all. Not 7, but 3. He said we're going to double the standard deduction, which is kind of cool. In other words, for a married couple, singles get standard deductions too, but he's going to double that. But let's just talk about the married couple standard deduction, all right, which is $12,500 now, I think. In other words, if you're a married couple and you make $100,000 together, what they do now with the standard deduction is you take $12,500 off the top, and then you get taxed on whatever that is. So in the case of some couple that makes $100,000, the standard deduction comes right off the top, and so you subtract, what, $12,500 from $100,000, and you get, what, $87,500 or something like that. And you get taxed on that. All right, that's the standard deduction. So what Trump wants to do, and what Gary Cohen, the Star Trek-looking guy, was saying, is we're going to double that. So it'll be $25,000 standard deduction right off the top. And what this will do, this will eliminate all this other nitpicking that we do about office in the home and all this kind of crap and all that kind of stuff. He also said that, okay, so we're going to double the standard deduction. That'll also work for singles, too, if you're filing separately or just by yourself. I think that it's now $6,000 or so for a single, and they'll double that, so that'll be 12 right off the top of your paycheck, and you'll get taxed on the rest of that. They're going to leave the deductions for, I think it is for mortgage interest, all of that. Charitable deductions, yes, you can still pump those things up. But everything else, you know, it's like, just skip it. Look. You know, if you're married, we're taking $24,000 or $25,000 right off the top, all right? So you don't have to play any games with all this kind of stuff. He says it's going to it'll help you and me and the little guy, the everyday Joe. Then they bring out the Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin. He was talking about corporate tax rates at 35%, which is where they have been since the days of the Reagan administration. And now he says, forget all that. We're going to bring that down to 15%. And that this, you know, super corporate rate is also going to be good for small businesses, too. And he also had something to say about major companies like, I don't know, Coca-Cola, say. They make a lot of money selling Coke in, India you know, wherever they sell Coca-Cola. And that money stays there, because if they were to bring that money back into the United States, it would be taxed heavily on it. And what Trump is saying is, we want to reduce those tax rates so that money does come back to the United States and get reinvested here. Now, that all sounds great, depending upon who you're talking to. If you're talking to liberals or Democrats, they don't like it, because the first question on CNN, as soon as they broke away from the press conference, was, how does it get paid for? And that's a legitimate question. What Mnuchin was saying, and Gary Cohen is saying, this isn't even revenue neutral. What they're saying is, this thing is going to pay for itself. Maybe in a better universe, maybe it will. In other words, it'll be so much more simple. I don't know what all the tax accountants are going to do. Are they going to be out of work? You know, really. There are, I think, 200 pages of instructions in the standard 1040 booklet. I think there's 10. And they were talking about in 1935, there were two pages. It was a one-page sheet you filled out in 1935. And there was a two-page instruction sheet. And now they're saying for a standard 1040, whatever it is, that it's a 200 pages of instructions and all of that. The thing is, though, sometimes when they simplify things, you just have less options and maybe less freedom to wiggle out of stuff. But they say that this is going to be great. Well, we'll see. The devil's going to be in the details. As I said, the Democrats can't understand how this is going to get paid for. Trump's people want to achieve, I think, 3.5 to 4% annual growth for the economy in the United States. If that's true, this would totally not only pay for itself as a revenue neutral situation. In other words, if you're not taxing people as much anymore, well, then how does the government work? And their point is, they go back to the Kennedy thing. Well, by reducing taxes, people invest more, do more, spend more, drink more, party more, have a good time more, and it all just makes more stuff, okay? I mean, that's the thinking. Frankly, I'm willing to try that. But, the Democrats don't seem to buy that. But anyway, so that's the tax plan. That's as it stands today. And let's move on to just for fun. How about Nancy Pelosi last night? I just mentioned this just for fun. It could be very sad. Nancy Pelosi was speaking last night at a international refugee. See if I get my notes here correctly here. She was speaking at the Refugees International Gala last night in Washington, D.C. I'm about to play you a little speech she gave. She spoke for 7 minutes. This is all edited, and she's either drunk or high on something, or both, or else ill or something. Now, granted, these are all the mistakes edited together, so we, you know, to at least give her some credit here. But she sounds like, let's just play it. Here's Nancy Pelosi last night in Washington, D.C., and she's just having a rough time getting the words out.
And Hassan Shire, for your well-deserved recognitions tonight.
Okay.
Today, the strong moral voice of Refugees International. We degrade our values and our security when we slam the door in the face of children fleeing atrocities.
You know what she sounds like? She sounds like the kind of guys I used to hang out with in college after a couple of Quaaludes and a six of Bud on a Saturday night. You know, it's just not making a lot of sense. Can't get the words out.
With the specter of famine looming and over northeast Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, and Yemen.
Yuma? You mean Yemen? Oh, man.
Almost slashing the State Department budget.
Oh, Jesus.
And foreign aid budget by 30% would only deepen the crisis facing the children. Children need America to be their champion. Thank you, Refugees International, for your leadership. Thank you for your moral advocacy.
You mean advocacy? Man, if you're in charge of the children, I'm scared. I'm in charge of my kid, honey. I don't know what your problem is, but...
And your action. Thank you for challenging us to honor our values as a nation. Thank you all for the honor to participate this evening. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, sit down. Don't drive. I don't know. Now, here's the thing. It might be sad, though. I mean, you don't know. What is she, 70-something? I don't know what it is, but it could be she's ill, too. But again, she does. She sounds like the kind of kids you hang out with in college. And actually, we didn't wait till Saturday night to sound like that. Actually, you could have sounded like that any night of the week when I was in school. That's what it sounded like. All right. What is the El Chapo Act? This is funny. Why don't we go right to Fox News and have some little hottie in the morning show ask Senator Cruz what it is. So here we go to Fox.
Our plan, Senator, is called the El Chapo Act. What is this?
Well, you know, as you know, the Democrats are threatening a government shutdown because they're so opposed to building a wall. They're so opposed to finally securing our border.
Yeah, we get that. But what is it?
And so I've been trying to think about how can we get this done? How can we build the wall even in the face of Democratic obstruction? And so yesterday I filed the El Chapo Act.
I like it. All right. What is it?
That provides that if El Chapo is convicted, you know, the famed Mexican drug lord, the estimates are that his criminal fortune is roughly worth about $14 billion.
And notice, by the way, you can understand him as opposed to Nancy Pelosi, you know, whatever that was a few minutes ago. But so Cruz is talking about the El Chapo Act and that this guy has about $14 billion in ill-gotten gains, etc. He's also in custody now of the United States, and I'll get to that in just a second. But all right, so there's money there. I think you know where he may be going now, right? Because he was kind of like a cross-the-border illegally kind of guy, and he's got a lot of money in these bank accounts that once we get him convicted, the United States is going to go around sniffing out all that money around, I guess, around the globe.
Wow. Now, coincidentally, the estimates for the cost to build a wall range from $14 to $20 billion. And so my legislation provides that if those assets are forfeited, those assets from El Chapo will go directly to building a wall and to securing the border.
Right on. All right. And that, I think, is really brilliant, you know, because you get to El Chapo, who was running, what was it, the Sinaloa cartel? And, you know, they were crossing the border all the time, human trafficking, doing all this kind of stuff, killing people, doing all these things. And so, and I think Cruz went on to say that any other drug cartels that get busted, all of their stuff, normally when that happens, say, and this is what Cruz is talking about, normally when it happens and they seize your assets, it goes right to the Treasury. But it doesn't get directed toward border enforcement or any of that kind of stuff. What Ted Cruz is saying is the El Chapo Act that he introduced yesterday would say, no, any of that money goes directly to border enforcement and goes right to the wall. That's what Ted Cruz is talking about. So I like that. All right. Now, by the way, speaking of the wall, I want to mention this just on Trump so that we get into this, because Trump takes a lot of heat or how shall we say crap. For talking about the wall, and the big thing this week is when it comes down to budgets, he's apparently not going to make funding for the wall an issue with regard to government funding over the next 6 months or so. And his critics are going, that's not cool. I think even Rush Limbaugh is all upset about it. And what I think I want to mention, take this opportunity, if I may, just to talk about speaking Trump and understanding Trump, all right? Because a lot of people, you know, when he talks about a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it and they're not going to pay for it, you know, I watch CNN and they're always tearing their hair out. Well, they're not paying for it and he said they were going to pay for it. And you get Jake Tapper who, you know, is just so upset. He can't, you know, he can't even see straight a lot. He's squinting a lot now and kind of, you know, just looks all weird on camera because he can't figure out the president. So this is what I want to say about President Trump and how he speaks, all right? The president, and pay attention because I think this is important, not only if you like Trump, but if you don't like him, this will help you, all right? Trump speaks emotionally. He communicates emotionally. However, and listen closely, he acts rationally. All right. He speaks emotionally. It's like, you know, like how many of us have said, ah, I want a wall between the United States and Mexico. Yeah, they should pay for it. That he speaks emotionally. Right. Make America great again. Right. He acts rationally. He is a salesman. Everything he says, he's selling you. He's negotiating with you. Whereas President Obama, his predecessor, was more like, well, I'm intellectual and I'm erudite and I'm going to logically lay out the issues here or whatever, you know, and I didn't agree with most of what he said, but that was a stylistic difference. Trump is a sales guy. Just listen to him. Every time he talks, you're the best, you're the greatest. Yeah, you know, China, you know, currency manipulator, whatever, emotional. Then when he speaks with the Chinese guy, I don't know exactly how he positions it. He talks about enjoying the best piece of chocolate cake he ever had while he's talking about sending missiles into Syria. What I'm saying is, if you want to understand Trump, remember this. He speaks and communicates on an emotional level with me and you and anybody that's listening. But when he acts rationally. That should help. The other thing I wanted to mention was the theme music is playing, so I don't know if we're out of time here or not. It just comes up and here we are. A lot of people are upset about the president's executive order regarding sanctuary cities yesterday. And this also relates to the whole Trump thing. I want to talk about it. If you take a close look at Trump's executive order, take a close look at it, you'll see that he instructed the Department of Justice and Attorney General Sessions to not violate any federal law with respect to the money that goes to sanctuary cities, right? And then if you listen to what the federal judge, the wacko guy from San Francisco, said is, we're not going to let you violate any laws that determine the kind of dough we get back at sanctuary cities. And we're talking about the 10th Amendment and all this chest puffing that went on from both sides yesterday. It's a big nothing burger designed to pump up the base on both sides, but you needn't get worried about it, man. Hey, listen, I want you to rate this podcast on iTunes, subscribe to this podcast, spread the word. This podcast is growing and I'm digging it. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter as Joe Crummy, and on Instagram as Crummy Joe. Turn up the music.